Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
2018 is a year of great new beginnings. Excuse me. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings, and it's a wonderful thing this year that the Jewish calendar and our calendar both end in 8 this year. So it's going to be big and wonderful and new beginnings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before your word tonight with expectant hearts and minds. You've already ministered to us wonderfully tonight, and we thank you for it. And we're expecting. We are expecting tonight. We're expecting great things. We're expecting great anointing. We're expecting great deliverance. We're expecting great healings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Miss Candy, thank you for that song. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you for it, Lord. Will you open your Bibles with me, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And if you'd like to go ahead and look up the 8th chapter of Luke also, we will read this same account from Dr. Luke's account as well as Mark. In chapter 5, verse 21, when Jesus was passed over again by ship, oh, glory. Yeah, I know it, Lord. You know just what to do. Glory to God. That's just think of that. He knows just what to do. He knows you. He knows me. Now, don't sit there and say, oh, no. Hey, he's known this all along. When you said, oh, Lord, you were not advising him of anything. He already knows. He knows every little cell of your body. He knows every brain cell. He knows what's in every cell and the composition that is unique to you. He can name your everything. He knows the stars by name. You think he don't know about you and me? And he calls you anyway. Come on. Yeah, he knew it all the time. There might have been a bunch of other folks called you no good, but he's calling you to himself. Amen. I said, Lord, the number of years ago, and I said, Lord, he said, Kenneth, I knew all that before I called you. And I called you anyway. And if you'll give me an opportunity, I can handle it. But not realizing that he doesn't have love. He is love. Say it. God is love. Again. God is love. We're majoring on this tonight. We will major on it for months to come. Verse 22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, he said, behold, he said, look. So look. Get a mental image, a mental picture there of Jesus coming up in that boat. People all over the shoreline there, just waiting for just get out of the boat, man. Ready to throng him. Here is a man... ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He didn't just stand there and talk to him. He fell at his feet. I don't care if it's this, they're in the water, the mud, whatever's there. That didn't mean anything to him. This is a ruler of the synagogue. men in that position had very, that's a very wealthy position. Jewish people are not silly like a lot of Christian people. They knew better than to keep the leaders of their synagogue broke and poor. Hey, that's the reason everybody wanted to be ruler of the synagogue. That's the reason everybody wanted to be in the priesthood, if they could get in there anyway at all, because they could get wealthy at that. And it was misused because of that. But here is a man that obviously has spent time with his wife to come to the conclusion that we're ready to put everything on the line. I could lose everything I have just by being associated with this man. Not only that, I'm not only associated with him, I fall at his feet. Now you know what that represents. Amen? All right. He made his declaration of faith. He fell at his feet. See him there? See him there on his knees right there at Jesus' feet? It may be that he just fell prostrate before him. And from that humbling of himself, and maybe pulled himself up on his knees. He's got a dying child. He didn't come here to play church. Huh? Laid it all on the line at the feet of Jesus. And he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her that she may be healed." Now listen to what he said. "And she shall live." The man never said another word the rest of the day. Now watch this. Jesus went with him. Isn't that marvelous? Jesus didn't say anything to him. He just went with him. Now, much people followed him and thronged him. But he's not ministering to them. He's not even paying any attention to them. Now, I want you to get the picture of this, because, come here, Greg. Peter and John are right there. Now, and you can understand why. I mean, people are all over him trying to get to him. And Jairus is right here. I mean, he's right on his coattail. And Jesus, move around here on this side. Jesus is right here, and all of a sudden, he stopped. "Somebody touched me." And he turned to see who had done this thing. Now, when he turned, don't you know Jairus did too? Now, I want you to hold that picture in your mind. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole.'" Now look at the similarity here. "Come lay your hands on her and she shall live. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." Whew, that's just, Paul, I mean, that's just oozing with faith, isn't it? Now, she didn't say, "I just sure hope I could get healed. If I could just touch him, might get something." She'd have died in the dirt. But no. "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that word is dunamis. It's the same word power. Now, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and dunamis. And you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Self-energized power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, now see, they're right there by him. They're crowded around him to keep somebody from getting, you know, get that whole crowd just come in there on him. His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Now, what do you think Jairus is thinking? Don't you remember what I said back there a few minutes ago? You don't know how long a walk they had already taken. It sounds like it was just here and then just there. Not necessarily so. We don't know how far it was from the lake shore to Jairus's house. What if that woman is a member of the synagogue that Jairus is the leader of? And knowing and fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. But what if he's standing there thinking, oh, Jesus, I know this woman. Oh, come on, Lord, she can talk all day. Lord, she can talk about them operations all day long. How do you think they know that she had an issue of blood for 12 years? How do you think they knew that she had suffered many things of many physicians? How did they know and spent all that she had and nothing bettered but rather grew worse? She told them. Jairus is having to stand there and hear that. He's having to hear all that. And he still stayed with his faith. And he said unto her, "Daughter." Oh, now Jairus's ears perked up. "Daughter." Well, he knows she's not Jesus's daughter. He knows he's talking about being the daughter of Abraham. And he knows his daughter's a daughter of Abraham. Now he's got his faith is working. He's hearing something. His faith is getting stronger instead of weaker. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague." Yet while he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, while he was talking, somebody walked up next to Jairus. He was so close that Jesus heard what he said. When the death messenger came, "Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Now, I want to look at that portion of that from Luke, the 8th chapter, 48th verse. "And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." When Jesus heard it, he answered. Oh, that's good. Jairus didn't have to answer. He had already engaged Jesus with his faith. Now Jesus is responsible for the answer. Can you see that? Well, once you've engaged Jesus, let me put it to you like this. Jesus is the great physician. Huh? Isn't that right? He is the great physician. The moment you engage him as physician with your faith, he goes to work. You may not be able to feel it, but he goes to work. And if you will spend some time expecting, oh, that's good, isn't it? Oh, I like that song. Spend some time expecting, just like a woman that's with child. She's expecting that child. Yeah, she knows something's working here. Well, you can know that in the natural, but now listen. You can also know that. You can know that just as well as you know it in your carnal, natural knowledge. You can know by the spirit of faith. You can know that it's working in there. But now, hey, this is not just passing Christianity. Well, you know, Mark 11:24, yeah, what sort of things are when you pray, believe, you receive. Well, I believe I receive it. Are you expecting it? Not much. Well, that's what's going to happen. Not much. But when you get in that word, and you go over those healing scriptures, and you go over your prosperity scriptures, well, Brother Copeland, I just don't have time. Get out of bed.
That's right.
Yeah, you got time. What are you doing between 3 and 4 in the morning? Well, I need my rest. Okay, go to sleep. While poverty hangs over your house. It just depends on how bad you want it. Because it's there. It's there right now. And, okay. Thank you, Lord. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying to him, the daughter's dead, trouble not the master. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not. He didn't say, now, Jay Harris, try not to fear, son. No, he flat told him to stop it. That's what he said. Stop the fear. Believe only, and she will be made whole. Do you hear what he said? Stop the fear. Believe only, she will be made whole. Stop the fear. Believe only, and you will be made whole.
Hallelujah. I receive that.
Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And that's the problem.
That's right.
But hey, stop the fear. Are you kidding me? They just told me my baby's dead. Yeah, but you told me if I'd come lay my hands on her, she'd live. So he just didn't say a word. He just stayed with his faith. Did what Jesus said do. How do we know that? Because a girl was raised up. That's how it made whole. That's how we know. That's how he did it. But I want to ask you though. How do you stop it? Well, let's look at some scripture here. Turn with me to the 2nd chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and we'll look first at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace should taste death for every man. Now you know, every man refers to every human being, not just men. Yes. I know everybody here knows that, but we're going out over television. And sometimes people don't understand that. He's not talking about gender here. He's talking about mankind. Amen. So, he tasted death for every man. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that is part of your package and inheritance. That's yours. If you learn it and exercise faith in it, now how does faith come? Say it again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, it actually comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. You just don't get it to just go just get you a little dab of faith, you know, after the bad report. No, that isn't the way it works. The word of God is food to the spirit man. Everything God created, every living thing requires nourishment. Even bugs. Yes. Really, everything. And he provided food for everything. Now, the problem with humans is God won't force feed you. Now, he feeds the birds and he feeds all that, but they don't have, you know, they can't make a choice.
Yes.
There's certain things that they eat, and if that's not available, well, you know. But hey, people have a choice.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm. Now, there's spiritual food, and there's intellectual food, and there's physical food. Yeah. Amen. And if you're fasting your spirit, No. You're missing it. Fast the flesh, not the spirit.
Yes, right. Amen.
And one of the problems intellectually is most people try to live on intellectual candy. You got forced into a little more of it just because everybody's got computers and everything. Now you really got to use your brain a little bit, even though you don't like to. But you can't just get your grandchildren to do it for you all the time. You know. Oh yeah, amen. But the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life, this became yours. He's tasted death for you. Taste represents the five physical senses. If you're walking by faith, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can't see it when you die. You can't smell it when you die. You can't taste it when you die. You can't hear it when you die. And you can't feel it. Now, other people can. They may not until right after they die that they can really tell something's wrong. You're a believer.
Yes.
That's the next big step. Whoa. Man, I feel good. What's going on here? I have talked to people, particularly one very close friend of mine. And he died of a massive heart attack on a handball court. And he was my boss when I was a student at Oral Roberts University. And Bob DeWeese, he flew the airplane. He was my captain. And when we were on the road, he's the man that I worked for the whole time we were there. And years later, he died on a handball court. He has no memory. He had no memory of that heart attack. He told me, he said, Kenneth, I have absolutely no memory of that. I heard Brother Gary Woods say the same thing. He died in a car wreck, massive car wreck, and went to heaven. Bob DeVries went to heaven. Couldn't figure out where he was for a minute. And And he, boy, he said, oh, no. He said, and he said, I saw the holy city and I knew where I was. He said, Kenneth, I started running. He said, I had never had such strength in my life. See, he was not aware he didn't have a body. Excuse me. He was not aware of that. The Apostle Paul, whether in the body or out, I could not tell.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And he said, suddenly I started slowing down. And he said, the next thing I knew, I was back in my body staring up at my wife, Charlotte, and the doctor standing there shouting the name of Jesus. And he said, I could feel it pulling me back. And Charlotte was, he was telling that to Glory and me. And Charlotte said, Kenneth, do you know what the first thing he said was? Did he say, oh, Charlotte, thank you for saving my life? No. He said, Charlotte, what'd you do that for? Ain't nobody wants to come back. And Gary Woods was in heaven, and a friend of his showed him around, and he just had a big old time. And his sister prayed him back. Amen. But he said, I couldn't tell I didn't have a body. Now, he's a singer, and that car wreck crushed his larynx box. And he said he heard him. When he came back into his body, he heard him say, this is just awful. His larynx box is crushed. And he came back and started talking to him. They couldn't figure out, how do you do this? He sang and preached all the rest of his life. Just went home and be with the Lord here just last year. But you know, always notice someone that has experienced that. The pull is so great. The pull is so great. It's very hard then to live out a long time. Amen. All right. I wanted to see that he's tasted death for us. Now go over to the 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, say through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He doesn't have it anymore. Jesus, all authority, he said, has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth.
Yes, amen. Right.
Thank you, Lord. Now, had we only known it even before Jesus came and took his authority away from him, back before the New Testament, the word said the power of death and life is in the tongue. And you could get in the word of God in the old covenant and obey God and do what God said. And the words of your mouth are either death or life. And there wasn't anything the devil could do about it. What happened out there in the wilderness? Why did those people, why did they die? Why were they cut off at 70 and just maybe a handful of them at 80 years old?
Disobedience.
They kept saying it.
Yeah.
We're going to die in the desert. He brought us out here to kill us. What was the problem? They didn't believe he loved them. They had no faith in his love whatsoever. Amen. So what happened? There wasn't but two of them, three of them, Moses and two others, that lived through it. Out of that generation. Why? They kept saying it. And God said, what's been coming to my ear is what's going to happen to you, and you ain't getting out of here alive.
Right.
You didn't have to be sick. You're just going to die. You talked yourself to death.
Right.
Now, people are still dying at 70 or 80 because of the same weapon. that mouth. Oh, don't that thrill you to death? It just scared me. I mean, that scared the life out of me. Well, Brother Copeland, I didn't mean that. I know it, but I don't mean nothing to the devil. He'll accuse you for it. He'll convict you with a dictionary. Because Jesus said you have what you say. Now, get this. And deliver them. Is that deliverance or not? Let me read it again. That through death he might destroy. That word translated destroy means completely paralyzed and brought to naught. Nothing. Him that had the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death. Underline it, put little marks by it, whatever you have to do. Glory to God. Through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death is the master fear. You just write that one up at the top of the list. And all other fear then comes directly or indirectly from the fear of death. You ain't afraid of flying, you're afraid of dying. You understand? And so what does that do? It creates worry. What is worry? That's meditation on the lies of the devil. And God told Joshua was headed into combat the next day. You understand that? The last time he was there were giants in the land. He don't know what he's going to be met with out there. What did God tell him to do? Did he tell him to pray about those giants? No. You know, what did he tell him to do? Meditate on me. Meditate on my word and be strong. Meditate on my word and be courageous. Do it. Meditate on it night and day. You meditate on it when you go to bed. You meditate on it when you get up, and you'll observe. You'll see how to do what's all that's written in there. Amen. And you'll prosper and deal wisely in the affairs of life. But now see, that's a spiritual principle. That is the principle. And you always have God's truth always has a reciprocal. Now, if you don't understand what reciprocal is, if you're headed north, that's a direction of the compass, right? Now I'm headed south. That's a direction of the compass. In one way, they're the same. They're both compass headings. But they're exactly opposite. This way, I'm headed faith. Now I'm headed fear. But they work just alike. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Fear cometh by hearing, and hearing by the lies of the devil. Right. Worry is meditating on one. Time and worship is meditating on the other. Hallelujah. Oh, we're getting there. I'm working on something now. You stay with me, you understand? Okay, so we see here, we are delivered from fear. And I could give you a lot of other scriptures. You could go, you can find in Deuteronomy 28, 65 through 67, you go, it's in the curse of the law. But just let's just go to Isaiah. Let's turn back over to Isaiah 53. And let's begin there. With that fourth verse, surely, oh, this is a sure thing. Did you know this is not a promise? This is a Bible fact. You meditate on Bible facts. and it'll build faith. Surely he hath borne our griefs. That word translated grief is also translated sickness. And carried our sorrows, which is translated pain. If you look it up in the Classic Amplified Edition, which is just marvelous on that verse of scripture. Our sickness, diseases, weaknesses, and pains. But don't discount grief and sorrow.
That's right.
He bore our griefs. Amen. And the scripture tells us to sorrow not. As others, we're not without hope. We ought not be grieving. Even at a very, very tough and hard moment. And a loved one has gone on home to be with the Lord. And it's rough, tough thing. But you just get a hold of yourself and obey the way. It's not a suggestion, folks. It's a command. Sorrow not. Sorrow not. He bore my griefs and he carries my sorrows. And I'm not falling for that demon trap. That's a spirit of grief. That's a spirit of loss. I noticed when my mama went home to be with the Lord. And people kept coming to me and say, I'm so sorry you lost your mama. I got tired of hearing it. I said, she's not lost. You understand? I'm not lost. I know where she is. She knows exactly where I am. I haven't lost a thing. Now you get to playing with that and get to playing with grief. Now, those of you that have never experienced deep grief, you may not really understand what I'm talking about. Those of you that have will. Grief, deep grief, deep-seated grief, particularly if you yield to it at all. And it begins to gush. Weeping begins to gush. It doesn't feel bad. It feels good. That's the problem with it. Amen? You two girls know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
You don't feel bad. Because it's a spiritual eruption. But you just keep doing it, and it'll dry you up. It'll dry you. You get spiritually dehydrated and physically dehydrated. And well, time won't do nothing but make it worse. That's a lie from hell. And you'll see in a moment where I'm going with this. But he bore it. I didn't say it is easy. It's easy, everybody be doing it. You need to get in a good church like this. It can minister to you and pull you up out of there and a whole bunch of good people get around you and just put that demon grief on the run. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just keep him out.
That's it.
Because he'll open the door to his partner, the devil. All right. We have been delivered. Look at it. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Look, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's where you got delivered from the spirit of fear, that peace robbing worry and demon. Glory to God. Cast all your care over on Jesus, put a smile on your face, and get up and go on. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then. Yes, sir. We are delivered. But we ain't got rid of it yet. The difference between putting fear down and casting it out. Faith alone doesn't cast out fear. Faith worketh by love. And perfected love casteth out fear. Whew. Oh, he knows just what to do. Fear, now I want you to listen to this. Fear can be put down. It can be overcome through natural means. Training, exercise of logic, and so forth. But it's still there. Particularly in areas where you're not trained. Now, there are people that I read this. After a man that he was an airline pilot and he was about to retire. And they were talking, they were interviewing him about his career and so forth. I think he spent, I don't know how long it was, you know, 20 some odd years. He's a very successful man, flying with a major trunk airline, captain, and doing very well. And they said, how'd you get started flying? He said, I was afraid to fly. And he said, I was so afraid to fly and he said, I don't like to be afraid of something that bad. So he said, I decided I needed to find out more about this. And he said, I went out there and started taking some lessons. And they said, did that help? He said, no. And he said, I just kept thinking that if I, you know, just keep doing this, well, you know, it'll help. And he said, well, of course it helped me. But, and they said, well, did the fear go away? He said, no. And they said, well, you made a career out of it. He said, I finally had so much invested in it that I went ahead and finished up all my ratings and everything. He said, tell you the truth, I never have really gotten rid of it. Mm-hmm. Now, what's he doing? He's mentally overcoming it.
Yeah.
It's not bothering him all the time. But at the least little thing happening there, and that thing will jump up in your throat. Let me give you another illustration. I think this will serve the purpose. Someone that does something dangerous, that is dangerous, flying is not all that dangerous. Driving down a highway is what's dangerous. A lot more people are killed and injured on the way to the airport than they are in the airplane going
somewhere. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And take somebody, the best illustration that the Lord has ever given me is a rodeo cowboy, rides bulls, good at it, champion guy. Kid out there on a 2,000-pound animal that they just got through poking somewhere you don't want to poke him. Man. And you get on that, he's going to get on that thing and ride that. I don't want to do that. Say, were you afraid to? No, I just got better sense. Now, he has, through training, like we were saying a while ago, logic and so forth, may have, you know, raised... on a ranch, he spent all of his youth coming up around that, and grew into it. He's not afraid of him. He knows what he's going to do. He's not even afraid of getting his body all broke up. Mm-hmm. But now he'll go get in his truck, drive him to the next event, and all the way over there, worried about his finances, worried about his children, worried about his wife. She's wanting him to quit and he don't want to quit. And she's threatening to leave and he don't know who's there while he's gone. And he's full of fear. He's just managed it in this one area. Same thing would be true with somebody that's a fighter pilot or anybody else. What we're talking about is managing fear, but I don't want to talk manage fear. I want to get rid of it. We've been delivered from the spirit of fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, 1 John chapter 4. I want you to say this with me again. God is love. Love never fails. Well, of course, God's not a failure. Now, in one sense of the word, he was. But he never considered himself a failure. You think about it. He lost more than anybody in the whole universe. He lost his man and the man's wife. He lost his planet. Amen. It cost him dearly to get it back. But he never started crying, I'm just a failure. No. He's not about to fail. He ain't even starting to fail. He is not faith. He is not righteousness. He is love. And it's love that never fails. He is all of those other things. But love has faith. Love is righteous. Huh? I'm talking about God. Where must. It is time to develop faith in love. How do you do that? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How do you develop faith in healing? You meditate healing scriptures. You talk it and you think about it. You live it. You put it into your mind and into your very being about healing and Jesus, the healer and my Savior and my healer. And you just keep doing that. You just keep confessing and your faith just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And there it comes. But most Christian people, I'm talking about born again, Holy Ghost, baptized, tongue talking, healing, believing Christians. Most of them do not believe that God loves them. Brother Copeland, I do too. No, you don't. You mentally ascend to the fact that he loves you and will argue with people that he does. Because in your head, you know he does, but you don't have any faith in it. Faith is an action word.
That's right.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Faith is not just agreement word. Faith is an action word. Somebody comes in and says, the building's on fire. Everybody believes it'll get out. Now some fool sat there and said, I don't smell no smoke. You're putting your life on your nose. But if you believe what the person said, you will act on it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, you may be acting on it because you're afraid, or you may be acting on it because you're fearless.
That's good.
You put a smile on your face, say, well, come on, baby, let's get out of here.
Let's go.
Well, I could go on and on with that. That happened in New York City a number of years ago. There was in a nightclub, and there was a guy came out on the stage and said, we need to get out of here. This building is on fire. And there were a number of people that did, but there was a lot of people thought it was part of the act, and they waited until they could smell smoke, and the building fell in on 1,000 of them and killed them. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 4. Are you there? Let's begin reading. Well, let's back up here and start reading from the 8th verse. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Now get that, make it big, underline it in red, do something to, and meditate it, look at it, think about it, know it and go over it and over it and over it, developing faith in love. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Say, Spirit. Of love. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Believed the love. The word know is the Greek word gnosko. It means intimate relationship. In some places it's translated intercourse. It is when a man knew his wife. It is also used in some cases as a growing knowledge of someone. But it's more than being acquainted. Amen. Do you know so-and-so? Well, now, someone say, do you know President Trump? Yes, I do. I laid hands on him and prayed for him. But now he walked in. This is back before the, while the nominations and all going on. And there was about 25 of us or so in the room. He walked in there and he said, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, I watch y'all on TV all the time. And just, amen. So at the end of that session, we were there for a couple of 3 hours or so. And Paula White said, everyone come and gather around Mr. Trump and let's pray for him. She said, Brother Copeland, would you pray? And so I was standing right behind him. And had my hands on his shoulders. Do I know Donald Trump? Yeah, but not closely. I'm better than just acquainted with him. Because after all, he does watch us on TV. Well, there was a woman walked up, Gloria and I was dead. I don't remember where we were, but I never will forget what she said. She said, you know me, I watch you on TV all the time. I said, lady, that ain't fair. You see me every day. I ain't never seen you in my life. Oh, my goodness. But you see what I'm talking about. Now, should I have the privilege and honor of spending more time with him or more time with you, I would get to gnosko you. I would get to know you. Amen.
Amen.
Now you understand this. We have had a very, very intimate experience with Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
The angel came and spoke God's word. She said, be it done unto me according to your word, as you have spoken, so forth. How is this going to happen? Seeing that I know not. Amen. Well, she's fixing to know somebody. And it's the Spirit of the living God.
Yes.
What happened? Those words, those precious words from heaven became the sperm in a little Mary's womb. And the Holy Spirit hovered over her. And a very precious and holy thing was conceived.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Let me tell you something, sweetheart. We are born again. Oh. Not of corruptible seed. But by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The moment you heard of Jesus, the moment you said, glory to God, Jesus, come into my heart, the very same thing happened to you that happened to Mary. You see it? The word of God entered into your spirit, not your physical body, into your spirit. And the Spirit of God hovered over you, and a new creature was born. Born of the word of the living God. You have exactly the same DNA as Jesus. When that finally becomes real inside you, and it never will until you spend some time meditating on it and confessing it about who you are in Christ Jesus and what he's done with you. You are a new creature. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. Dear God, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. Get rid of those old sin tags, unrighteous tags. I'm so unworthy. Don't you ever say that again. Don't you, you are unworthy in your own self, but you're not in your own self anymore. You're in him.
Yes, sir.
There's no such thing as an unworthy, unrighteous new creature. Because the scripture says, old things passed away and all things are new and all things are God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if it's God, it's law.
Yes.
Now here's the point right here that we have to take another step. We have to go to a place higher. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Well, of course not, because there's no fear in God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Perfect. Develop. What did he say? Love one another. Practice love on one another and you develop it. It don't make any difference whether anybody responds or not. Just practice it.
Yeah.
You practice anger all the time and it'll be right up there.
Come on.
You get mad at everything. I mean, you pencil break and you throw it across the room. I know I practiced it for years. Absolutely. But you can stir up the gift of God.
That's right.
It's the love that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Stir it up.
Stir it up.
And what'll happen? It's right here. It's right here. There is no fear in love. Perfected, developing, growing love casteth out fear. Because, here's why God insists on this, fear hath torment. All unbelief is fear-based. All grief is fear-based and fear-dependent. All of it. And it needs to be out of there. It needs to be out of there. And I know, there's been times I've looked at things in the scripture and I choose to believe it. Because it's in the Word of God, but I'm struggling with it. Check up on your love life. Because the moment you violate that law of love and step out of it, fear is there. It's just waiting on you. Bam! Don't let him in. No, just stop right there and say no. And if you've sassed somebody or something, I don't care what it is. Repent.
Amen.
Right in their face, repent.
Yes.
I'm a Christian man. I ought not talk to you like that.
That's right.
Amen. I tell you, Gloria and I have practiced this for years. Well, I have. She just She's just, she never would fuss. She taught me how to love.
Amen. Praise God.
Taught me how to love. And she never would, she never would respond or react to it. The anger or anything had anything to do with it. And that, I was out of the will of God. I was called and knew it. I knew where I was supposed to be and wasn't there. And I was struggling and trying to, and that anger, fear that had come on me as a 9-year-old boy and took my life back there then and developed over years. And I won't go into all that. But that spirit was still messing with my mind and my flesh. Man, I'm out of the will of God. I'm out here trying my best to go my own way, and that's just stupid. But the problem that most people have with that is the fact that God Himself, love Himself, since it takes faith to connect with Him, because faith is the key to where the grace is stored. It is by faith so that it might be by grace. That's the way the system works. You can't change it. Satan can't change it. He can take advantage of it, and particularly our ignorance of it. And he's just going to tell you enough to get one more step out of you. I want you to go do that. I can't do that. I want you to go do that. No, I don't want to go do that. Well, read your Bible and find out how that worked out for Jonah. Amen. He had it all figured out. He knew God was merciful. And he's going to go over there and, you know, preach that sermon, straighten up or die. And he don't want to go over there and God be merciful and they don't die and make him look like a fool. So he said, I ain't going. I'm going over here. Boy, it didn't work at all. I was in a mess. We lived in a little house here in Fort Worth. I don't remember now. I have no knowledge of it, no memory of it. I don't know what triggered it. But I've fought depression a lot, and something triggered it. And I'm standing there in this little hallway of that little house, and I got Gloria backed up against the wall, and I'm just going off on her. I mean, just hollering and going on. And suddenly, I separated from all that talk and I heard what I was saying. Now, I was a spiritual, scriptural, total, complete, you know, illiterate. Both of us born again, both of us baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I stopped. I said, oh God, Gloria, forgive me, forgive me. She never said a word. She just stood there. I said, please forgive me. And I just went over and hit the couch. I just fell out on my side on this little old couch and just went into it just seemed to me like this deep sleep. And suddenly I woke up and it was daylight. I really thought I had slept around the clock. But then in a moment or two, I realized I hadn't. I was just in this deep place for just a few minutes. And I'm laying here on my side, and when I open my eyes, Gloria's right up there in my face, just sitting on the floor praying in tongues. Now, see, we could have had a knockdown, drag-out fight. You ain't talking to me like that, you fat mouth so-and-so. I'm getting out of here. I'm going back to Arkansas. That'd have been the end of all that.
Yes.
Because I was too stupid. I'd have reacted in kind. She's never done that in 56 years in April. Never had. Not one time. Not ever, ever, ever. I finally learned how to love watching her. I opened my eyes. I said, oh, Gloria. First, when I caught myself out, I said, oh, Gloria, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Oh, God, please forgive me. And I went over and fell out on that couch. And when I opened my eyes, I said, Gloria, I got to preach. She said, I know it. Let's go. Let's go. That's all she's ever said. Okay, let's go. But that's the way she answered me when I asked her to marry me. On our first date. I said, we walked up on her daddy's porch. And I said, Gloria, will you marry me? She said, okay. And just went in the house. I didn't get any kiss. I ain't nothing. She said later when she got in, she thought, what have I done? I don't even know this guy. Oh, well, I'll get out of it later. Oh, baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But over all of these years, you know, I'm up, down, in, out, loud, quiet. She's just Mama Gloria. Amen. Came home from Australia. The reason I tell this one all the time, because it changed my life. I was so tired. We'd been all over the South Pacific. Stopped in Hawaii to rest for a few days, come back. And we were, that next morning, we went to a little continental breakfast out on the deck outside, you know, beautiful place. You know, I'm tired. That being tired ain't no excuse to be grumpy. This is where the fruit of the Spirit has to be developed. Love, joy, peace, long suffering.
Got that right.
That, and love, joy, peace, I stopped off at about love. And the rest of them, I just fouled them all up. Particularly that long-suffering bit. I was long-suffering. And Gloria's long-suffering and patient. But the word said, let patience have its first perfect work, and you'll be entire wanting nothing. Amen. Or how that, let that long-suffering work for you. Yeah. Don't fly off the handle and break that endurance and the effect of it. That's what love does. Love will perfect you and protect you. And correct you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And direct you.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
And so I turned around and threw some money down there on the table. Turned around. And when I turned around, she'd gone around me. And when I turned around, she was right in front of me. And she caught the lapels of my shirt collar. And she said, little tears. She said, I'm going to be a blessing to you some way.
Amen.
I just thought, you know, this woman, someone, she's talking about her husband. They said, well, you need to put heap coals of fire on his head. She said, I poured boiling water all over him and it didn't do no good. That wasn't Gloria. Somebody else. Amen. Another time, we had come back home and, man, I was just ready to fall down. I'm sitting in her study, just sitting there in the chair, hadn't said anything in a while. And I was concerned about the will of God and the direction that I was going and dealing with a lot of things. She walked around behind me and put her hands on my shoulder. She said, Kenneth, I find no fault in you, and I'm sure Jesus doesn't either. Those two incidents changed my entire future, changed my life. And it's taken me a number of years Shouldn't have, but it did. It's taken me a number of years following that example to go ahead and strip my flesh of sin and just rip that stuff out of there and come to that place where I can walk with Jesus and a wife like that. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 And anybody can do it. But it's going to take some time meditating on the love himself. Yes. Not his love, but love himself. Yes. On him. On who he is and what he is and how he thinks. He thinks love. He thinks love all the time. If you're going to ask God about anything, he's going to come back with love and faith.
That's right. That's right.
That's the way he thinks. You're trying to get, he's trying to get you to give.
That's right.
Because that's what love does. That's the reason agape is translated charity in the English, in the King James Bible. We don't understand that because we don't use the word charity anymore. But charity is a kind of love that just wants to give to everybody that's in need. A charitable person is hunting someplace to give, someplace to help, someplace to give of themselves. And that's what the word agape was translated in King James. Excellent translation if you stop and think about it a little bit. Now then, developing the love. The word agape is a marvelous love word. It means I will love. Has nothing to do with feelings. Has nothing to do with what you did. I will love you. I will never forsake you. It is a covenant word, and in our case, it's covenanted in blood. I will love you. Yeah, but I will love you. Yeah, but what if? I will love you. But what did he? I will love you. You meditate on that long enough, and you get in the word and study it and study it and study it until faith comes. And you begin to have faith in the love. Instead of saying, Lord, don't you care. This seems like every time anything happens, I'm the first one that gets laid off. I don't know why it happens to me. Well, I can tell you exactly why it happens to you. You keep saying it.
That's right.
And you keep declaring he don't care. Now, the Apostle John confessed, I am the apostle that Jesus loves. Now, why would he do that? He was there by that fig tree that day. He heard Jesus say, you have what you say. And he said, he loves me. Jesus loves me. He was right there. He was right there when Jesus was praying. He was right there. Right there when Jesus said, show them, Father, that you love them as much as you do me. He believed it. He was the one laying on Jesus' lap. He was the only one that didn't run off from Jesus. He stayed by him. And he outlived all the rest of them. Huh? Are we getting anywhere with this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now look at the difference. John is laying there in his lap. Peter comes up. Jesus said, one of you is, you know, the devil, you're going to betray me. And Peter comes up there and said, ask him who it is. And you ask him. No, I ain't going to ask him. You ask him. You're his favorite anyway. You're the one he loves. You ask him. But look at the difference between the two. He confessed that Jesus loved him. He believed that Jesus loved him. And he stuck right there with him. And to whom did Jesus hand his mother? Huh?
John.
Why? He trusted. He believed the love. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to turn my mother over to somebody sitting out there by the stove that starts cussing when they mention my name.
Yes.
Why was Peter that afraid? Well, you can already tell why he was that afraid. Why was John not afraid? Love.
Yes.
And his power.
Yes.
The quickness of it on the inside. The devil comes up and you start laughing and say, you got to be kidding me. You come up here threatening me with that. See, that's all he's got left is the threat.
That's
he
right.
doesn't have the power anymore.
Right.
He's got to threaten you and get you to start saying it and get
yeah,
you
exactly.
to start running.
Amen.
And I don't care. I don't care if your knees are shaking. Don't let him see you sweat. Just put a smile on your face. My Father loves me.
Yes.
And Jesus loves me.
Yes.
And you know that, Satan. Uh-huh. You know you can't put that on me. You know, yeah, but you're going to die. Well, so what? Let me help you. I really want to help you with this before I let you go home tonight. You're going to die. You should have known that by the time you were 4. Maybe 5 at the least. Huh? You're going to die. Your dog's going to die. Your goldfish is going to die. The grass in your yard's going to die. Huh?
Yeah.
The bugs are all going to die.
Right.
And you and me got it made.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
I said, God loves me.
God loves me.
And I love God.
I love God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I refuse to fear.
I refuse to fear.
What any man.
Any
devil.
Any devil.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Can do to me.
Can do to me.
I have no fear.
I have no fear.
My God loves me. Stand up, please. Begin to say it. God loves me. Now put your old name in there. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth and Gloria. Woo, God loves Kenneth and Gloria. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something. Well, yeah, he loves y'all because of it. Now just shut that up. I don't care if you did the worst crime ever in the history of the of nastiness. I don't care what it is. He couldn't love you any less. Because he is love. He couldn't love you any less. And if you preach the greatest sermon ever been heard on the face of the earth since Jesus was here, he wouldn't love you anymore. He can't. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for him to love you anymore. And it's impossible for him to love you any less. So smile and enjoy it. Perfect in love casteth out fear. You get the fear gone and miracles begin to happen. You get the fear gone and God can use you. You get the fear gone and he can trust you with finances. I'm telling you, fear is what you want to get rid of right now. Now we're going to do something. Put your hand. Hey, you know the scripture says a believer lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? How many believers here? Okay, put your hands on your head. Say,
I believe
that God loves me,
and love himself
has provided healing for my body,
healing
for my mind,
and strength and power for my spirit.
I believe I receive.
I take healing for my head.
I take healing for my brain.
I take healing for my
ears. I take healing for my eardrums.
My inner ear is healed.
I take healing for my
eyes.
Healing for my
nose.
Healing for my sinuses. Oh, man, that just hit like a stream flowing right there. Glory to God. Take deep breaths. Praise God. Some of you have had your nose plugged up and stopped up all winter long. Well, it's over tonight. Glory to God. Love himself has healed your sinuses. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Someone is being healed right now. Something that's a problem with your upper lip or your gums or your teeth in that area. Say, I receive my healing in my mouth, in my gums, in my teeth,
in my tongue,
in my throat,
in my tonsils.
Oh, now praise him for a minute. Oh, now praise him for a minute. Put your hand right there, right just at the bridge of your nose, right there like that. Say, I believe I receive,
healing
for every gland in my body,
every hormone in my body
is stabilized
and working correctly.
Every gland in my body,
my thyroid gland.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone's thyroid is being healed. It's been off bad. I receive healing my adrenal glands. Put your hands back there, right there just above you, kid.
I receive it.
My adrenals are working right.
I have adrenaline when I need it.
God is quickening my mortal body.
I receive healing in my lower back.
I receive healing in my kidneys.
I receive healing in my hips.
I receive healing in my liver.
And my lower abdomen.
In my stomach.
In my colon.
All of my body.
My heart.
My lungs.
I say it again,
all my glands
are well,
functioning correctly.
I receive the healing of my youth,
the restoring of my youth.
I thank God,
He has filled my mouth
with good words.
That my youth is renewed like the eagles.
I wait upon the Lord.
And he renews my strength.
I can run
and not be weary.
I can walk
and not faint.
I'm strong in the Lord
and in the power of his might.
I have healing in my legs.
I have healing in my knees.
Oh, thank God for new knees.
Oh, thank God for new hips.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
I have new vertebrae.
All the way from my brain stem
to my tailbone.
I have a new back.
Strong.
It's working in me now.
Love is working on my spine.
Love is working in my hips.
Love is working in my knees.
Love is working in my ankles.
Love is working in my toes.
And I give God the praise and the thanksgiving for it.
Now worship him and thank him. Worship him and thank him. Worship Him. Say, thank God. Thank God. Love. Who is God? Who is love? Has made me whole. He is, His name is not God. That came out of German theology, Gott. He has names. That's like saying to somebody, hey, boss. Who is that? That's boss. Well, I mean, what's his name? That's his name, boss. Does he have any children? Yeah, he's got a son. What's his name, John? This man's got to have a name. No, his name's just boss. That's the way some people think about God. His name's just God. Hey, that's because you don't know much about Him. Think about this. This Jehovah's English eyes treatment to His name. His name is so powerful that in the days of old, when the scribes would write His name, before they would write it, they would go bathe and put on clean clothes before they would write that name, because there's so much awesome power in it. Some were afraid to say it, and eventually became traditional that you don't say that name. Oh, but hey, I bow my knee. To the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We have His name. Yud Hey Vav Hey Nisi, the banner and covering. Oh, Lord God, it's like the covering of the heavens. Every time you look up, He's there. Yad Hey Vav Hey Rohi, my shepherd, I do not want. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because my God's the biggest thing in the valley. In the presence of my enemies. Well, sure, the devil is there. What you paying any attention to him for? You're the one at the table. Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. Amen. He is Yud Hey Vav Hey Raha, my healer. Oh, God. That's His name. For healing to pass away, or for healing to not be available to me today, He would have to change His name. Amen. He's not just boss. He's healer. He's coverer. He's shepherd. And Jesus is the great shepherd. Hallelujah. And the great physician. I'm going to save this next one to last. He is Yud Hey Vav Hey Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. My peace. Oh, Yud Hey Vav Hey Shama. He's present. He's present. And He's covenanted with me and my family, and with you and your family. Love Himself has given His word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What is He saying? I love you. I love you anyway. I love you. Yeah, but I love you. Amen. And my mercy endures forever. I want you. You're mine. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. God loves me. God loves you. Oh, yeah. Yud Hey Vav Hey Sidkenu, my righteousness. He said, my righteousness with God. It's just because he wanted me to have it. He doesn't want you to be out of line with him. He doesn't want you in any place where he can't bless you. He loves you. I remember your sins no more, he said. I blotted them out. Why? If he remembers your sin, he can't bless you. I don't see how you can just stand there. Oh, but I'm going to send you home on this one. Ooh, son, if this don't set you on fire, your wood is wet. He is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh-Saboth. Ooh, he is the Lord of hosts. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? Oh, I got to tell you something. Lord of hosts, 261 times in the old covenant, the first covenant. You think he's trying to tell us something? Well, he didn't have to show me, but this one. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh-Saboth, the Lord of the hosts, the Lord of the angels. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that there's not room enough for you to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts. He said it twice in that very verse. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We have tithing rights! Love has said so! Love has said so! Love, the commander-in-chief of all the armies of heaven, are back in the tither. I'm a tither. If you're not a tither, you don't qualify. This is not for thieves. But repent. I mean, if you hadn't been tither, say, Lord, I'm a tither from now on. Just make the decision and then do it. Glory to God. I do that first. I'm telling you, if we only had 1 handful left, I'd tithe it. I'd tithe it. I'd sow it. Don't eat your seed. Sow it. Sow it. Break the bond. Why? You got the heavenly host standing there. I wish I could just pop your head open and say it again. God loves Kenneth.
God loves me.
God loves me.
God loves
Gloria.
God loves Gloria.
And Kenneth loves Jesus. Oh, I love my Father. Oh, I love my Savior. I love my healer. I love and honor my teacher. Oh, he's my comforter. The greater one that lives within me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's ever there. He's there forever. He's my standby. Oh, glory to God. He's my advocate. He's my strengthener. Oh, glory to God. He's my comforter. Oh, and he's the one there. He's the one there. He's forever there. He's always there. He's always in me. He walks in me and he talks in me. And he's my God and I'm his man. Hallelujah. And he loves me. He loves me. God loves me. Thank you, Lord.